You're with us for a caller-only hour here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are recalling some of the conversations this year and taking stock a year into the pandemic with you. We want to hear about what shows you want us to put together in the coming weeks and months. What is on your mind? What do you want to learn more about? What are your burning questions? And what do you think should be getting more attention amid the pandemic? Join in now on this caller-only hour, 800-642-1234. Email your show ideas to ideas@WPR.org. Or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. You know, we have had a number of conversations with scientists, with journalists, with experts on climate change this year. And one of our guests was Professor Michael Mann from Penn State's Earth System Science Center.
The nature of this war has evolved. The old climate war was more or less along the lines of what I was describing before, an effort to discredit the scientific evidence that climate change is actually happening. Well, that's really no longer credible because we can all see that it's happening. The impacts of climate change have just become too obvious, too profound to deny. That doesn't mean that the forces of inaction, as I call them, the inactivists, have given up in their effort to prevent action. Instead, they've turned to these other tactics that you mentioned. One of the primary tactics is indeed the effort to divide the climate advocacy community, to get us fighting with each other so that we don't present a unified front and a demand for change. And there are a number of insidious tactics that they've turned to. That's one of them.
And so that is Michael Mann there of Penn State talking with us in January. And when you think about The Morning Show, you think breadth and depth, right? And so you go from climate change one day to talking about youth sports amid the pandemic. We spoke with journalist Tim Bannon, who continues to investigate the safety of youth sports. And Bannon is a Marquette University journalism fellow. He spoke with us in mid-January about his research so far.
If you go back to May and June, when college sports had been canceled and pro sports were still struggling to get going, youth sports was powering ahead with thousands of tournaments across the country. These are travel and club teams. We went out to tournaments across the Midwest to see how they're managing this. And it turns out that there's different rules in every state, every tournament, sometimes different rules within the same complex.
Wow.
And our findings were basically three things. One, the rules vary. Two, the regulation is quite spotty. And three, adherence to the rules is also fairly spotty. So it's continued through the summer and through the fall. Winter sports are a whole different ballgame because it's indoors. But again, it's just this lack of regulation and this disconnect of protocols.
And journalist Tim Bannon there on youth sports and the pandemic. Moving now to the topic of the environment, we continue to monitor how forever chemicals known as PFAS are affecting Wisconsin's waterways. We recently asked Darcy Foss from the State Department of Natural Resources, the DNR, how often the chemicals are used in manufacturing. And Foss, she oversees the DNR's Environmental Management Division.
That's a great question, Kate, and we're going to try and answer that with partnerships with business and local governments. I'm not sure we have a really good feeling right now on how widespread it is. We do have indications on what it could be based on a lot of the work the state of Michigan has done, but we're in the process of starting to sample businesses, wastewater. We're going to be moving ahead with some municipal well sampling, and we're starting to routinely sample our surface waters and fish, not only for mercury and PCBs, but now also for PFAS. So we're going to kind of step out from there and really see how widespread it is.
the DNR's Darcy Foss there on PFAS. What are the next steps on how to deal with these forever chemicals? This hour is dedicated to you and what you want to bring to the morning show. It's caller only, ideas rich. Maybe you have questions you want to explore, stories to share, experiences you wish to have fellow Wisconsinites hear. A year into the pandemic, let's take stock. What should the morning show cover this spring and into the summer? What topics and issues matter the most to you? Do you appreciate more advice type segments, researchers or experts? What information is most useful to you in your life? Share your show ideas right now. Be the producer. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. We talked with Linda Hall this year, came on the program having a wide-ranging conversation about youth mental health and efforts to improve services in this area. And Linda Hall, she directs the State Office of Children's Mental Health. Part of our talk explored how racial equity gaps are affecting youth well-being.
Well, unfortunately, it affects it in a really big way. And we took a special look at that in this year's report and plan to have equity in child health and well-being as a focus throughout 2021. In 2020, it became clearer than ever before that the economic, mental health, and educational and health disparities across the kids in our state are huge. In terms of educational equity, 90% of kids graduate from high school in Wisconsin, but most of the kids who don't are Black. In terms of economic equity, Wisconsin ranks 50th in the nation for having the most extensive gap between Black and white races, especially the children. And when it comes to mental health, 11% of Black children needed but didn't receive treatment, whereas only 2% of white children didn't receive treatment. So a lot to work on. And we know that these factors, you know, these everyday living conditions, which are sometimes referred to as the social determinants of health, are critical to the mental health and well-being of our children. So we really need to get at those issues that are the underlying conditions that create the mental health challenges our kids have.
Oh, Linda Hall there studies so closely the social determinants of youth mental health. She heads up the Office of Children's Mental Health. And we are having a caller-only hour here discussing what you would like to bring to the morning show, what experts you would like to have. 800-642-1234. Tom is joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Tom. What would you like to say?
Hi, thanks for having me. I had a show idea. I was hoping that every week the morning show would be able to have a disinformation/misinformation roundup, where the journalists would go over commonly propagated misinformation and disinformation found on both sides of the political spectrum and how to, you know, dismantle those arguments or, you know, poke holes in them so that they're not as effective at, you know, doing what they do.
Yeah, a dismiss roundup. Tom, where do you see the misinformation, the disinformation the most? Where do you pick it up?
I mean, I've been trying to, you know, limit my time on Facebook, and I mostly see it on Facebook primarily. Mm. But I also know that, you know, certain other radio stations that aren't as unbiased as NPR or other sources frequently have their own misinformation, disinformation that I know I'm not privy to, but I know is out there.
Do you think by
stuff that would be found on social media?
Do you think by giving these pieces of disinformation or misinformation more time and pointing to them and talking about them would make it better? Would put them to rest?
I would hope so.
Okay,
that's the idea behind it. Is if you're giving people the correct information, pointing out the false information, then people would, know what's true and false and hopefully develop some more critical thinking skills in the future to combat them.
Tom, thank you so much for that. And occasionally we do talk with PolitiFact Wisconsin reporters about this. And certainly this topic has been circulating on our show, but not in a weekly format. Tom, thank you. Phil now in Mount Horeb with some thoughts. Phil, hi.
Hi. I really appreciate Tom's comments. I think that it's critical that Americans and Wisconsinites in particular try to find a common ground of civil discourse where we can begin to realign to each other's views in a non-prejudicial, non-heavily biased way. We are riven as a society now, and it's really, I think, destructive to our social fabric. What I'd like to see is Wisconsin Public Radio begin to hold forums of thought where people agree to a discourse that is civil, where there will be no castigation of the other side, but a sincere listening, and hopefully we'll find some congruence on issues that are important to all of us.
Oh, Phil, thank you so much. So some listening sessions, some forums that are around really civil discourse to find some common ground. Phil, thank you for that. We're opening up the lines this hour to find out where you want to take the morning show next. Let's talk about the programming you want to hear in April and beyond. 800-642-1234. Hey there, kids, what do you want to hear from the show? Who are your favorite authors or people you watch on YouTube, TV? What questions do you want to explore? Parents, what kind of programming would be helpful to your family to navigate these times? Be part of this caller-only hour, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We are listening to recent highlights from the morning show. Most importantly, inviting your ideas for future segments. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss all sorts of news here. And here's a snapshot of just this week so far. Vaccines, broadband, emotional intelligence, state spending, veterans, Wisconsin's black bear population, and the new federal relief package. What topics are your highest priority? Do you listen for conversations about politics, about health, education, advice, something else? What is important to you? Join in. This is caller only, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Kurt in Delavan. Kurt, hi. What would you like to add?
Well, you know, we do this political roundup thing every week. I'd be more interested to find out what the legislator, or her or him, I guess, to be, how they stated they were going to vote for a certain thing to the public. And then when they actually vote for it, what they vote for it, how they vote for it. And if there's a difference between the two, what's the explanation for, you know, turning your back on your constituency and voting the other way on it? You know, we just need to hold their feet to the fire. If they say yes, it's yes. If they say no, it's no.
And sounds like, Kurt, you really want follow-up on legislation after the vote happens to see what actually happened in the end.
My gosh, that is key. That is the problem that we don't have here. Society-wide is follow-up. I mean, it's 30 seconds, people forget what's going on. Yes, follow-up has to be there. That's the only way that we can keep the people that we're putting into power responsible for what things we want them responsible for, not their PACs, not their pork, not their special interest groups.
So, Kurt, let me ask you this. What is your most pressing issue? What do you have your eye on most in politics?
Honesty. And the lack of it, and people being, again, it's we as a society are letting these people get away with doing things to our society that we may not like. Now, we, of course, everybody's got an, you know, has the ability to protest and speak their mind and do whatever they'd like to. It's not enough because we seem to keep getting farther and farther in debt with nobody saying, hold the bloody phone here, guys.
All right, Kurt,
$6 trillion?
Kurt, thank you so much. And Kurt, of course, saying there that really following the legislation more carefully, more acutely. Aaron is with us in Madison. Aaron, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to point out that April is Autism Awareness Month, and I have a child with autism, so I think it would be really important to hear from experts in the field or even parents and healthcare providers about how to be more aware early in your child's life to the signs of autism and how to get help in Wisconsin particularly.
Aaron, may I ask, where did you find the most of your education for more deeply understanding autism?
Well, the first sign was from our pediatrician, so okay. I really have to give credit to her that she did kind of press the issue with us. We were really reluctant to admit that this might be the case, but she did continue to, you know, tell us to check things out. And then we went to birth to three,
mm-hmm.
And they help with language issues and things like that. And they also suggested we get screened. So we're in Madison, so I feel like the screening process is a lot faster than it might be in other places where you can be on a waiting list for quite some time to get diagnosed. So earlier is better.
Aaron, thank you so much. And we do have a conversation coming up later this month on the topic of autism. Appreciate it. Michael now is with us in Bear Valley. Hi, Michael. What would you like
hello.
To share? Hi.
Hi. I'm really been following. I'm not a scientist, and but I've grown up, you know, with the space program. I'm going to be 72 years old this year, and it's really quite exciting what's happening in terms of space discovery. And I know that there are some really fantastic educators at the University of Wisconsin-Madison who could help the public really understand some of these great discoveries. And so I would be in favor of more programs that are science-based and specifically related to space discoveries and our universe that we live in and understanding it better.
All right, Michael, thank you for that science-driven conversations, space in particular, astrophysics, and looking inward at the UW for experts. Got that, Michael, thank you. We are taking your ideas on what we should cover in April and beyond. This is a caller-only hour, 800-642-1234. Scott is joining us from Baldwin. Hi, Scott. What can you share?
Well, America has four major issues. First of all, Social Security is going broke, so we need to take the cap off Social Security so the rich pay to save the rest of us. Second, we have a healthcare system that's not working because we're paid twice as much as the European and Canada, so we need to make it more efficient, like a Medicare for all. Third, the global warming is a catastrophe, and we talk about that. And fourth is huge national debt. We're paying billions of dollars in interest every month. And the rich people are paying actual less percentage of tax than the middle class. And that's ridiculous.
When
the only
you
way we're going to get out of this is have the people with the money pay the taxes.
Scott, when you look for experts on these big issues like Social Security, health care, national debt, what types of experts would you like at the table?
We need people that are going to be fair and look at what other countries have done to make things more efficient. And we need economists, scientists, and people with knowledge.
So looking outside our borders, getting expertise from the economists. Scott, thank you so much. And as we go through this caller-only hour, And, you know, recently we talked with Don Krim, Secretary Designee of the State Department of Safety and Professional Services. We heard from Eric in Green Bay. Eric's a plumber, wanted to know what the state does with licensing fees.
Well, I'm glad Eric has asked that question. We are an agency that does not receive any state dollars, so we are all program revenue. And so when the plumbers and other building industry people are receiving their licenses and paying for those fees, they are paying for plan reviews, they are paying for any type of work that we are doing when it comes to updating building codes, when we're looking at inspections. And so any response that is occurring from our staff around any building concerns in industries, those fees pay for that work.
Secretary Designee there, Don Krim. As we move through this hour, we're looking back at the conversations we've aired on the program and asking you what you want to hear, gathering your ideas for future shows in April and beyond. What do you think should be getting more attention in COVID? What do you want people to know? What would you like to hear? Who would you like to hear from? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back. Stay with us after a news update. Hear more about your thoughts to bring to the morning show right after this news update on the Ideas Network. You're with us for a special color-only edition of The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are exploring wherever the conversation takes us, right? This hour is dedicated to you and what you want to bring to The Morning Show. What are your ideas for future programs and segments? What is on your mind? Which shows have you enjoyed most? Which guests should we definitely have back and why? Join in with your show ideas. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. David is joining us from Ironwood, Michigan. Hi, David.
Yes, I would like to have someone cover the Fed and the banking system. From what I understand, is the banks can literally create money out of thin air. The bank has $1,000 in deposits, so you could literally blown out maybe 10,000 or something. I don't know exact numbers, but, you know, I would like to someone really explain their system. They keep on saying getting rid of the debt, but from what I understand, the money is run on debt. Therefore, you get rid of the debt, we get rid of our money. And then the other thing I want to say, more stuff on global warming. There's this guy on YouTube. If you do a search on Just Have a Think, he has a lot of good things of what we could do about global warming. I would like to see get him.
Okay.
And, you know, yeah. To do at least once a week, if not more.
All right. So number one there, David, we heard go deeper on the Federal Reserve and how the banking system works. And you say global warming in particular, Just Have a Think, which is something we want to check out. David, thank you so much for those ideas. Dan emailed us from the township of Bangor to say Wisconsin has a really interesting program that their family has tapped into over the years. It's called Focus on Energy. And Dan says between the solar installation incentives, finding a trade partner or contractor, or simply getting a big pack of LED bulbs at a nice discount, the program is intended to save Wisconsinites money while helping reduce our energy use. And Dan says, you know, I'm curious about it and how the program came about, some statistics on it, any particular successes of note, and where it's headed in the future. So Dan suggests a program on Focus on Energy. Thank you for that, Dan. Betsy in Appleton sent over an email. Betsy says, suggesting the author, anthropologist Brian Hare, who wrote with Vanessa Woods the book Survival of the Friendliest. It's a rediscovering of our common humanity. Betsy says very interesting and timely material. And Brian is a very engaging speaker and anthropology professor at Duke. Betsy, thank you. We will check that book out. Melinda now in Taylor has some ideas. Hi, Melinda. Go ahead.
Hello. I would like to see a program on shared parenting and parental alienation. My family and I were the targets of an individual who decided to hire a hitman to kill my husband.
Oh, my.
And
okay.
We felt very, very, very alone. We're pretty uneducated as to what was going on. And the more that we talk to experts and the more that we find out, this is a very pervasive issue that hits a lot of families, and nobody should have to go through this.
Melinda, so sorry to hear that. And so looking more closely at shared parenting and what that means and the issues surrounding it. Dwayne emailed to suggest a show about land surveying, featuring a guest from the Wisconsin Society of Land Surveyors. It's a very old profession, Dwayne says, but most landowners know little to nothing about their land. It is a rewarding profession that you get licensed with just an associate's degree. It combines history, measuring, treasure hunts, professional judgment, and some cool new tech like scanners and drones. Dwayne, we really should check out land surveying. Thank you so much for that idea. And Dwayne would like to hear a show about Iowa's removal of low-head dams and converting them into white water parks and fish passages and hear stories from the Native people of Wisconsin and early settlers. Dwayne, thank you so much for these suggestions. Mitch now with us from Wautoma. Mitch, hi, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
So I just wanted to call. I have some thoughts about our DOC in this state. Last year, I had to do a short stint in our prison system for a cannabis charge. And I, both during the pandemic and since I've been released, I've heard conversations with Secretary Carr that you've had. Mm-hmm. And I've had some issues with how he's represented things as far as the conditions in there, the way things are dealt with problems both in and in community corrections. And I think that we would benefit from having that conversation also with some ex-inmates who could give an accurate portrayal of how things are managed and the ways people are treated, because I would say a rough estimate is about 75% of what he says is not accurate. So I would really like to just see a more inclusive conversation.
More inclusive conversation of former inmates who can give their insights on what it was like inside Wisconsin's prison system. Mitch, how is life for you today?
Oh, it's great. Actually, my life was going pretty well beforehand, and it's going great right now. I think there's also a conversation to be had about our cannabis laws in the state, but I digress there, and that's maybe not for the same conversation. But yeah, I believe there's a really big difference between what actually happens in our prison system and the way it's portrayed by the administrators. And for obvious reasons, I think there's reasons they want to kind of keep that perception the way it is. And I think even though it's a very uphill battle to try and change what's going on in there or even in our community correction systems, I just think that that's a conversation worth having with mm-hmm. everybody, because they're what I hear from them is very self-serving.
Well, Mitch, thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening and bringing these insights to the table. Carolyn is joining us from Milwaukee. Carolyn, hi.
Hi. Boy, that was fast. I thought it would take a long time. I'm a city person, and I have heard a lot of different things from people who live either upstate or especially in the suburbs, who seem to be prejudiced against us and in the city, and I also feel sometimes that I have prejudices against people upstate. And I think they all hate us. I don't know if that's true. Probably not. But
well, let me ask you this, Carolyn. Yeah, let me ask you this, Carolyn. As we would explore the rural-urban divide in our state, you know, what is that conversation like to you? How would it sound?
Pardon, I didn't hear that because I was trying to talk.
Oh, okay.
That's one of the problems we have with each other.
Carolyn, I just want to ask you, as we explore the rural-urban divide and what is dividing us, how would you imagine this conversation would go?
Well, part of it would be the political implications and how people vote. But then, so that would be one result of the problem. I also feel that there's ignorance. One person told me once that she would like to, and this is ignorance, not meanness. She said, "I would like to come to Milwaukee, and would you meet me at the border so that you can lead me in and I'll stay at your house, and then could you introduce me to a black person that I can interview?" And I was just, my jaw dropped, because I think sometimes people don't realize that we're all different. And I'm sure that that's true of suburban people. I've had the other direction having things. I've also had things happen, like when I served on a committee that was statewide, they said they would never come to Milwaukee. Nobody would ever come to Milwaukee. And we did have a conference in Milwaukee, and it was the best attended one that ever happened.
So it sounds like more talking is what is really needed around these issues of trying to understand, you know, people regardless of where they live, whether it's urban or rural or suburban. Carolyn, thank you for that. Kay is with us in Sauk Prairie on this caller only hour. Kay, hi.
Hi. My suggestion was that maybe once a month you could invite representatives from maybe three or four different volunteer groups to explain what their group does so that they might be able to recruit and people interested in that area could get some experience, and particularly for kids, they might learn about a profession they wouldn't know about. So many groups rely totally on volunteers to keep things going, and you could volunteer at animal shelters with cats and dogs and office help and cleaning and just everything there. And there are lots of groups that work on protecting and enhancing natural resources, and you could volunteer with a nature conservancy or a prairie enthusiast.
The list goes on and on. Kay, which volunteer group are you most active in?
I'm most active with animal shelters. I certainly have helped with natural resources, and I just think there's so many groups out there. They could be teaching English to non-speakers, you know, newcomers. There's just so many things that I think most of us just don't know about.
There's so much volunteerism out there, and yet we just don't hear enough about it. Is that what you're saying, Kay?
Right. You just don't know what you might be doing. I mean, I think of all of the retired people that, you know, would like to be a little bit more active and probably can bring some great expertise to some of these areas. And then there's a lot of kids, particularly high school age, that could get exposure to fields that they hadn't really thought about pursuing as a future education.
Well, Kay, thank you so much. You know, Kay saying shining a light on all of the volunteer activities that are out there and giving these organizations more time. Let's bring in Alberto in Maguanago. Hi, Alberto.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What I was like to suggest is an ongoing series, not just a one and done type of thing, that highlights the economic, artistic, business, music impact that the Latino population has contributed to Wisconsin, not just in the agricultural industry. A lot of the shows are about the agricultural, but we're having such an impact statewide. And like for my own family, I think third generation of migrant workers that have been coming to Wisconsin to, you know, work in the crops. We're able to stay. We're able to advance our education. But that life cycle still continues. And whenever we hear history or stories about agricultural industry in Wisconsin, there not much gets mentioned who's actually out in the fields doing the work or schlepping around in those barns. And I think it gets missed. And I think if people could realize that the economic impact that people are having, and that we're not all immigrants. There's many of us are American citizens that have been doing this for generations. So that gets lost, I think. So people get some speakers on. There's a book called Latinos in Milwaukee, Latinos in Wisconsin. There are people that are writing books about this, but they're not getting the
attention, the exposure.
Right.
Yeah, looking at all the layers and all of the voices from, you know, not, as you said, not just in laboring and in agriculture, but economics, artistic, business people. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, think about all the restaurants in Milwaukee and Madison that have brought in the Latino cuisine. It's very popular with the Anglo culture. Mm. So there's other impacts we're having that gets lost, especially in this past year with this local, the social turmoil we're having. Good to step back and realize, hey, we're all contributing to the social structure, economic structure of this state. So just give a recognition, but not just a one and done. That's my concern. Not just a one and done.
Keep it going. Yeah, Alberto, thank you so much for listening and for contributing to this discussion. We're collecting future show ideas from you this hour, and hearing what you have to say, what programs stand out, what discussions deserve more attention. Still time to talk in this caller-only hour, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute, maybe hear from you on the Ideas Network. We are back with more conversation about the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and thanks to our producers, we have hundreds of guests each year who bring their knowledge and expertise to share with us here in Wisconsin and beyond. And now we want to know from you, who do you want to hear from? What are your ideas about future segments? Ron has an idea in Manitowoc County. Hi, Ron. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you. It'd be good to have a program on the worldwide movement concerning the boycotting, divesting, and sanctioning of Israel for its illegal occupation of Palestinian lands. Also programs concerning the horrendous costs imposed on the people of Wisconsin due to the use of alcohol and also the massive number of deer within the state.
Okay, I'm hearing, several things here. Ron has an eye on international issues with the conflict of Israel-Palestine. Alcohol also on Ron's mind, and deer. So, Ron, thank you for those ideas. Derek is with us in Madison with ideas. Derek, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I thought it'd be good to have maybe a series on like investigative journalism on such things like follow the money, you know, what is influencing certain decisions, whether it's politics or lobbyist groups, things like that, probably locally, but I'm sure national might have some ideas too for, you know, how laws are formed, who's to benefit from this law financially, what's the lobbyist groups that's pushing for it, and what do they have to benefit financially? I think that would be a good insight for all of us.
Derek, thank you for that. Following the money and the influence on legislation, laws, how they get passed. Let's go to Marcy now in Stevens Point. Hi, Marcy in Stevens Point. Hi. Go ahead. Hi.
Hello there. Yes, I'm calling just to, as a suggestion, as a listener. I would ask that there there seems to be a near constant focus on race and racism, and just from my listening ears, it's introduced in very nearly every single topic. It's this topic of race and racism is brought up. I find this extremely divisive. I would ask that when you have discussed things, that we talk about things as Americans specifically, and not separate things into groups. Because it's just seemingly perpetual, and I listen to shows, pretty much constantly. But it seems as if it's introduced as a goal rather than specific to the need to bring it up. I don't really care what a person what their color is. I'm a listener. I just want to listen to the topic, not about race and racism perpetually.
All right, Marcy. So leaning away from topics around race and racism, Marcy now in Sparta joining us. Marcy, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. What would you like to bring to the table?
I actually was going to call and say more about Native stuff, but after listening to Alberto, like, there are so many different cultures that make up Wisconsin. It would be nice if they had an ongoing thing about the Latinos, the Natives, the Hmongs, just all the different diversity groups that are here in Wisconsin that make this great state.
And in particular, what would you like to learn more of or the voices you would like to hear when you look at the diversity of Wisconsin?
You know, the Natives, what they do here, just, I don't know, more about their cuisine, more about what their lifestyle is like, how they feel living in the state, how they feel that they contribute to living in the state, and how that all goes to us as a society of moving forward. And just knowing about people's background or their culture helps you feel more comfortable with them.
Marcy, thank you. Marcy, exploring more on the richness of diversity right at home here in Wisconsin. Mark is joining us from Kimberly. Mark, hi. What would you like to hear more about?
I'd like to see a series of programs, at least monthly, on climate change, where we learn internationally what's happening to ecosystems, big areas around the world, the Amazon, the Indonesian rainforest, the oceans, the Arctic, the Antarctic, the boreal forests. And, you know, talk about climate modeling there and what scientists are doing on the ground and what research is strong, what's needed, what's worrying the scientists most, and then, you know, you can relate it to policies too. You might have guests on from started look to the journals, the scientific journals for leads, and Guardian and BBC have been strong in this area, so they might point you in directions.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing, Mark, is a much deeper dive into the world of climate science and climate change. Is that right?
Two things, really. We want this in-depth on the effects, mm-hmm. what's going on to the biology and the physical systems of the Earth. But then a companion series, also strong on the solutions, where you talk about the R&D status, and there have, you know, guests on, say, from the National Renewable Energy Lab in Colorado. Not only when you have these programs, have more than one guest, so you're not just getting one perspective, so you can kind of bring out the controversies. There have been probably observers of that renewable energy lab, you know, outsiders, reporters that have different angles than someone in the administration.
Someone you like a round table,
Well, not necessarily. A couple of guests would be enough, but to bring the history out of the lab, you know, for instance, and not just because there's a lot of research that has died there, you know. Yeah. So we want critics as well as insiders from
Mark. Thank you. Yeah, we're short on time, Mark. Thank you so much. As we look at, more closely at climate science, a climate series, and all of the experts who are out there, Fred from Wheaton called, couldn't stay with us, wants to talk more about redistricting of all our political districts. And Fred says, hey, thank you so much for having this caller-only program. Fred, thank you. Thank you to all of your show ideas for the morning show, keeping us going strong each morning together. We appreciate it so much. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is You with the Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.